it's good for us as a congregation to deal with all kinds of issues that might seem on the surface to be divisive. Because I'm convinced, and I've had some experience and some, what I at least I call success because I'm biased, in working with congregations around these kinds of issues, where what we discover is that our strength is in a unity in Christ, a unity of the Spirit, rather than a uniformity of opinion. That if indeed our doors are open, and if indeed we go out into the world reaching for people to introduce them to Jesus, then the more diverse we are as a group getting along, the easier it is for somebody to come in and be a part of us. Because it doesn't really matter. I have a sermon where I actually use props, and back in the olden days when I didn't know better and I thought I had to dress up, I actually had robes that I wore. And I had a black robe, which is kind of was my official robe. It was when I was doing kind of a really official things. And then I had a white robe. That was when I kind of looked like Moses a little bit. And I used the white robe to represent the grace of God, and I used the black robe to represent the law of God. And I stuck the black robe in one corner, and then catty corner across the sanctuary, I stuck the white robe. The idea is that wherever we fit on this spectrum, wherever we are in it, there is room inside for us. Well, excuse me. That's to keep me from falling off. There's room inside. And if it turns out we invite somebody or somebody wanders in and they can't find room inside, we can move the black robe or the white robe further away until we get them far enough away that people can be inside. It doesn't mean any one of us necessarily changes how we understand our relationship with God. And it doesn't mean any one of us necessarily changes how we understand our response to the love that God shows us. What it does mean is that we come together in a unity of the Spirit to understand that God, having created us relatively different from each other, has a relatively different relationship with each one of us. Those of us who have children know that we can love them equally, but we don't treat them the same. Because if we treated them the same, we wouldn't be loving them equally. Sometimes one or another of them needs a little bit more of something, or maybe even a little bit less of something. Just because one is Harvard material doesn't mean they all are. Just because one could write computer programs when he was in sixth grade that I could sell, doesn't mean all the kids could write computer programs. Treating them equally didn't mean treating them the same. What we're going to try and do in the study is come to the point that we have an understanding of a unity of the Spirit that gives room for each other to function in the way that God has made them. And what that means for us as a congregation, I don't know. I've shared with some of the leadership team that one of the things I did in where I came from in Waverly was we had a conversation around this issue after a series of small groups. And I pretended to be the arch liberal, and we had a person in our congregation who was extremely concerned, who would make all of you think you were liberal too. Very conservative individual, an elder. He and I had worked together wonderfully for 2 years. We debated the issue in a very polite way. We allowed the congregation to comment out of their own experience. And then just because we felt like it, there was also a retired Army general in that congregation who was an elder, and he and I got along. He was the other Dale. Sometimes you'll see me sign emails, Dale F. That's just an old habit because I had to separate myself from Dale B. We worked on same committees almost all the time, and we just had to have a way to identify ourselves. But he and I did the same kind of thing around the Presbyterian concept of just war theory, with him saying, having been a general, sometimes there is a need, and me saying, I like the just war theory, I've just never seen a war that was just. And I've looked back through history, and I haven't seen any in history either, so therefore, my sense of just war theory is that they're all unjust. And we had that conversation and allowed people to kind of join in and share their ideas and opinions, and it was interesting on both of those issues, kind of sensitive issues they can be, what a spectrum there was of idea, of understanding, of how folks lived and functioned in their lives within that congregation, and how we could still work together and be one. Not of like mind, but of like spirit. It's a challenge. Quite frankly, I would like most of the time for everybody to agree with me, because I'm pretty sure I've got it right, at least most of the time. And I want you to agree with me the rest of the time anyway, just on general principles. But that is not going to happen. I don't think I've ever served in a church where my theology and that of the congregation was the same. It'd be an awful weird congregation if I did find one. But we can have a unity of the Spirit. Jesus, in these verses in the third chapter, seems in part of it to be endorsing this column that was on the handout that said there's a process you use here to have eternal life, and that is that you believe. And then God's response is eternal life. And then when he gets a few verses further, he seems to have moved to another column, and he seems to be saying the gift of God is eternal life. Your response can be to believe and to accept that gift. Any of you ever gotten a gift that you sent back? Sometimes it happens. I have one sister who insisted I need long sleeve shirts. After 20 years, I may have finally convinced her this year. We get gifts every once in a while that we aren't going to use, that we send back. It's become, there's a whole protocol when you give gifts, I understand, to make sure that people know where you got them so they can take them back. And you can thank them for the thought and get what you want. Which way do we understand our inheritance of eternal life? It's a challenge for us. It extends as well today to the Lord's Supper, to communion. Communion based on community. Again, I shared with the interview team when they were interviewing me, and then the ministerial committee, and then the worship committee. I'm even weird for Presbyterians in this regard. And I understand this experience of inviting Christ into ourselves, however we do that, to be an opportunity of evangelism. And so my invitation to the table will be a little different, and we're going to try and help explain that a little bit later to the kids. For those of you who have not been baptized in this church or baptized at all, kind of follow the leading of your parents. There is no right or wrong way here. I realize what it says in the book, your book. It says a different thing in our book. I function differently than that. That's one of those things I want everybody else to agree with me on someday. But the worship committee has been very gracious to allow me to extend this opportunity in a way that I'm comfortable with, and I hope it's in a way that you're comfortable with. God's love comes to all of us in so many different ways. And God's love will extend to us, regardless of who we are, regardless of how we think. That offer of God's love is always there. Amen.